All right. We are studying from the Zohar, from the Parsha of Shlach Lecha. And this section 4 is entitled Slof Echad, was gathering sticks. And just for the record, it's verse 11, just for the record, Slof Echad is the man who went out on Shabbat and ended up being stoned to death. And then his daughters asked Moshe in later in Numbers, since their father died, they were losing the land because he had no sons, and could they inherit? So let's find out what Slof Echad's sin was. What was his consciousness? Verse 11. Vayehi Noam Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Kononeh Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Kononehu. Amar Rabbi Chaya Ketiv Yimtzu Ish Mekoshesh Atzem B'yom HaShabbat Man Atzim Hava Uman Huda Elada Tzelafchad V'chava Dayik Alilein Ilanin Hai Minayhu Rav Al Chachara V'la Hashesh Likara Demare V'achlav Shabbat L'Shabbat Hahidiktiv ki bechet o mat bechat vav mait begin kach chava dine satim velait perash dine kedinim acharanin begin de mila dabae bechashe V'satim v'la galya, v'yad la itmar b'yat galya, v'kucha barichu aved yikar likare. Rabbi Chiya said that it is written, they found a man gathering sticks, and the word that's used is the same Hebrew word for trees, upon the Shabbat day. What are the trees involved here, and who is that man? He responds, that must be Slof Echad, who was particular in knowing exactly about these trees, which are Zeranpin and Malchut. Which of them was greater than the other? He did not care for the glory of his master and exchanged the Shabbat to the other Shabbat. This is what is written. But he died in his own sin. The Hebrew word is cheto. Chet tet aleph vav. Meaning in the sin, chet tet aleph, of vav. Since he made a blemish in Zeranpin, which he referred to by the vav of yud he vav he, he died. Therefore his sentence was left unsaid, and not explained as other sentences. He is described simply as a gatherer of sticks, because this matter had to be in secrecy and needed to be veiled and not made known. Therefore, it was not mentioned openly, and the Holy One, blessed be He, glorified His own glory. It's saying it just needed to be in secret, but it doesn't explain why it needs to be in secret. But it is in the Hebrew play on words and letters that all of that is being expressed. When Shabbat comes, Malchut and Zeranpin unify. And when someone does work, creative actions, one separates, which is the metaphor of putting a blemish in Zeron Pin, because Zeron Pin only has 9 Sephirot. It doesn't have the 10th. Malchut is its 10th. Zeron Pin is incomplete without Malchut, and that's the blemish. That's the sin. And that's why we are recommended so strongly not to do creative work on Shabbat. Verse 12. Rabbi Yose Amar She'ar Atzim Bahade Shabbat Hava Mekoshesh V'kabel Onsha Lefum Shata Beit Kafar Chove V'ad Eit Kashe Moshe Bedina Bivanata Dilayada Eit Kafar Lemechave Livnate Chulak V'achasana Ilav Kevan Digdakar Shame Kuchabarihu Diktiv Kain Benot Silachad Dovrot Ich Yada Dehait Pakapar Chove. Rabbi Yosef said he was gathering other trees, indicating the 70 external chiefs, together with the Shabbat, and was comparing and matching the level of the 70 chiefs to the level of the Shabbat day. He received his timely punishment, and his iniquity was forgiven. Therefore, Moshe had difficulty in judging the sentence of his daughters, since he was not sure if his sin was forgiven, and if his daughters would take their lot and inheritance in the land of Israel or not. As soon as the Holy One, blessed be He, mentioned His name, as is written, the daughters of Selophehad speak right, it became known that his sin was forgiven. This verse in the Zohar is troublesome to me. Yes, I'll accept that the sin and not mentioning his name needed to be concealed for whatever reason. But we're clear, no negative action of a person impacts his children. It impacts his children to the extent that he reincarnates within his children or grandchildren, which is typically the case. So I don't understand this dealing with, we had to know whether the daughters were forgiven, the sin was forgiven, to know if the daughters would inherit the land. This does not make sense to me. But perhaps the Zohar will clarify it as we go on. By the way, just because it doesn't make sense to me right now does not mean that it's not correct. It means that I don't yet have the consciousness to understand it. Everything that's written in the Zohar is truth. And as an aside, I was reading a blog today from a rationalist oriented blogger who's quite literate and very well written, and his basic essence is that the sages of the Talmud, the sages we call Chazal, were speaking from the level of science of their generation, and so it is possible for them to have been incorrect. There are other sages that are considered very backward and out of touch, modern sages who speak otherwise. They're very clear. There is no word in the Zohar that is incorrect. So if the Zohar says that there is an animal that no one's ever heard of, does not mean that that animal isn't in this world somewhere. Every word is expressed in the Zohar is correct, and that is my worldview. I reconcile these two points of view in a very unusual way that would not rest and not be acceptable to the rationalists. But every timeline, every world, every universe, every opportunity for correction gives us another potential movie, potential world, potential gate. All of these worlds are created by our action or inaction at that point of tikkun. That's one of the effects of being a co-creator. And that's how we don't see everything. We are actually creating these worlds. And everything that's written in the Zohar does not have to apply to the timeline that we're in. There is a timeline where these statements are true. This is how I reconcile it for myself. Verse 13. Tachatzi bet ilanin inun chad le'ela v'chad le'tata v'dachayin uvda mota man di'achlaf Lon negareim le mota bahe alma velet le hulka behahu alma ve ed amar shlomo devash matzata ekol diyacha ve gomer. Come and see that there are two trees, one above, which is the tree of life, Zeranpin, and one below, which is the tree of knowledge of good and evil, the Nukva. In the one there is life, and in the other death. Whoever exchanges them, meaning that he considers the female when she is separate more than Zeranpin, who is the tree of life, causes himself death in this world and has no part in the world to come. About this, Solomon said, have you found honey? Eat as much as is sufficient for you. A verse in Mishlei. This metaphor could be a little bit difficult to understand. Clearly there are two trees, the tree of knowledge, good and evil, which is Malchut, and the tree of life, which is there on pin. And whoever exchanges them, and what this step verse is saying, exchanging them means seeing, perceiving the female as elevated over the male when they are separated. Seeing the tree of knowledge, good and evil, as more important than the tree of life. Other metaphors that should be substitute to help you understand this is if you see logic as more important than intuition, this is actually the sin that was made by the father of the daughters of Zelophehad. This is the mistake that was made. Earlier in this section, it said Zelophehad was communicating with the 70 angelic messengers, which are referred to as Elohim. He was finding that more important than being with the tree of life. and in unity with all. And so for him there was separation, and this created the true separation. Verse 14. Aaron v'Torah bechad kemai Torah ikara Aaron beta ve'ed Aaron chaser bela vav bekol atar Aaron habarit Aaron ha'arut bekol atar acharon Diroa yamina bar bechad diktiv kol pekudei chalivim asher paker Moshe v'acharon nakud leila. The Ark in the Torah, that are Malchut, which is called Ark, and Zeren Pin, which is called Torah, are as one, meaning in unity. The Torah that is in the Ark is primary, and the Ark is the abode for the Torah. Therefore, the Ark is spelled without Vav, wherever it is mentioned. That is, the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of Testimony, since the Torah inside the Ark is the secret of Vav. Aaron is always the right arm, except once word is written, all that were numbered of the Levites, whom Moshe and Aaron numbered, which has dots above it to indicate that here he was not the right arm, which is Chesed, but rather an aspect of Malchut called Ark, as is mentioned. The Zohar is so beautiful. It gives us an understanding for all of the different places in the Torah where dots are over the letters. And there are many different explanations. And over the years, the sages have given explanations many times because they didn't have access to the Zohar, but also because there's many different understandings of these dots. But this particular one is quite beautiful. Here it's saying, Chesed is not Chesed, it's Malchut. And that's why there's a dot over that word for the name of Aaron. Verse 15. Amar Rabbi Yitzhak Moshe Ilana Techaye Naket Be'ad Ba'al Minda Ichava Shabkiyach Be'arai Lav Ugich Amar Chayesh Ba Etim Ein Betit Hazaktam Ulkachtam Mifri Haaretz Dehailana Dechaye Itramad Lekola Vinun La Itiu Ela Anavim Verimonim Utenim Ba'ilana Acharatalyan Va'achidan. Rabbi Yitzhak said, Moses was attached to the Tree of Life, and therefore he wanted to find out if he existed in the land or not. Therefore he said, whether there is a tree in it or not, and be of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land, since the Tree of Life is pleasant to all. But they brought only grapes, pomegranates, and figs, which are attached to another tree, meaning the Nukva, and not in Zeren Pin, which is the Tree of Life. This verse is reinforcing what I said earlier. There's no Malchut in Zeren Pin. There can be no fruit in Zeren Pin. It's only when Malchut is unified with Zeren Pin. Moses told the tourists to go into the land and tour. Look for a tree and bring back the fruit of the land. See if there is a tree or not. And whatever the answer, bring back the fruit of the land. The land is malchut. What is the fruit of the land? It's the seed. What is that seed? The seed of the tree of life. How do you connect to the tree of life? By planting the seed in your life. Verse 16. Tachatzi shalach lecha anashim g'ginach Rabbi Yehuda patach ketzati nat shelek bayom katzir tzir ne'eman l'shol tachadichav v'nefesh adonav shashiv ketzi nat shelek bayom katzir Diachane Lugufa Unasha Sir Neman Lusholchav Elu Kalev Uf Nechas Dehavo Shalike Mechaim Ne Ligabe Hoshua Venefesh Adonav Yashiv Yachar Chadru Shekinta ledaira, Bahu be Israel vila istalka minayhu. Come and see that in send you men, you means for your sake. Rabbi Yehuda opened the discussion saying, like the cold of snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to those who send him, for he refreshes the soul of his master. Like the cold of snow in the time of harvest, because then the chill is good for the body and the soul. A faithful messenger to those who send him. These are Caleb and Pinchas, who were faithful messengers of Joshua at the time when he sent them to spy on Jericho, for he refreshes the soul of his master. They returned the Shekinah to rest on Israel, and she did not part from them. There's many different levels to this verse. On its surface level, it's explaining that the action of Joshua sending two messengers, not 12, to spy on Jericho and returning faithfully, safely, accepting the risk to their life. And yes, they were saved by Rehoboth, who became a wife of Joshua, according to the Midrash. That whole process reconnected the Shekinah to Zeranpin. Verse 17. V'ilein d'shadar Moshe garimu b'kiya l'darin b'tirin b'garimu Leistalka mi Yisrael Kama alaf alef alef Barib van vegarimu lesalka Shekinta mear ya mi benaihu di Israel Inun de Shadar Yehoshua Benefesh Adonav Yashiv. These spies whom Moses sent caused grief for later generations, since on that day the first and second temples were destroyed. This caused thousands and tens of thousands of Israel to die, and furthermore caused the Shekhinah to depart from the land and from the midst of Israel. It says about those whom Joshua dispatched, "For he refreshes the soul of his master." Now, earlier in this session, I said nobody receives the effect of someone else's mistake unless that person reincarnates. And yet here this verse is implying that people are dying because of the sins of the spies. That the whole idea of the Tisha B'Av, the destruction of the temples, the expulsion from Spain, and the final solution to the Jewish problem being signed in 1942, all of those actions which impacted millions of people, how do we explain that connection? No one is punished for their mistake of someone else. And for me, that is an overwhelming, awe-inspiring concept to understand how connected we still are to these same mistakes that we do over and over and over. We listened to the Lashon Hara of these spies. We didn't say, "No, that can't be true. I have to investigate it myself." We fell to the Satan. We listened. We were there. And that's still going on, because we've not done teshuvah for that issue. We read it every year. We read this parasha of Shlech Lecha every year, and we don't take it to heart. We don't realize that we are the ones who have to be tourists and not spies. Are there any questions or comments?
Yeah.
Good. I was hoping you had...
I do. First of all, I mean, this is a very long section and covers many, many different points. Remind me what the sins of the spies were. I thought they were in a house and the men wanted to rape them or something. And maybe I'm thinking of the wrong thing, but
you're thinking of the wrong thing.
What were their sins? The sins of
the
spies.
Okay.
What were the sins of the spies?
The sin of the tourists were they weren't tourists. They were sent by Moshe with explicit directions. Look for a tree.
Okay.
Not trees, a tree. And be of good courage. Don't worry about what you see, because Hashem's with us.
Okay. And what did they do?
For a tour for about 3 weeks. From the 17th of Tammuz to the 9th of Av. And they returned on the 9th of Av. They came into the camp. They didn't report to Moshe, which would have kept it secret. They started speaking to the people. "Oy vey! The people in that land are so strong, we can never overcome them."
Okay, I remember that.
The people, the land kills people. Everywhere we went, there were funerals. Not realizing, according to the Midrash, that Hashem had made honored people die so that they wouldn't be noticed. They could slip through unnoticed. And the many other types of issues. This is the sin of the spies. They spoke disparagingly about the land. The land is Malchut. The land is Hashem, to Shekhinah. You cannot speak disparagingly about your parents. How can you speak disparagingly about God, who is your parent?
Okay,
that was, that was one of the sins of the spies.
Okay, so if we are required to do tikkun, to
tikkun,
cast off the sins of what?
Tikkun.
Tikkun.
I've asked. Tikkun. Iris database has been updated.
To cast off the sins of the spies, because there was destruction of the first temple, the second temple, expulsion from Spain, the signing of the Shoah. What are we supposed to do? I mean, what am I supposed to do in temple or somewhere else to remove the sins of the spies?
Do you live in the physical world, Jack?
Of course.
Is the physical world your home? Or are you on vacation?
Well, of course I believe I'm a spiritual being visiting the physical world.
That's the correction. Having that consciousness in every action that you do. That you're a tourist.
Okay.
Because what's the difference between a tourist and a spy? A spy is going to do actions of harm to the other people there.
Yeah.
A tourist is going to appreciate the beauty there.
Yeah.
I've toured
okay.
parts of the world. I've been offended by the smells. I have been offended by the poverty. And yet I've still okay. seen beauty in that process.
Right.
I know I have responsibility to help change that. But ultimately, I don't live here.
No, I mean, if you analyze it, the only logical conclusion is we are tourists, that we are spiritual being, we are spiritual beings experiencing a physical reality.
Correct.
Physical.
And that experience, we have to realize,
there is no interpretation.
We have to realize that we are tourists and not spies.
Okay. Okay. All right. And the spies cause harm and the tourist does not.
Correct.
Okay.
A tourist helps.
Right.
A tourist brings revenue. A tourist brings right. a different lifestyle okay. that raises the consciousness of the poor people to ask for more.
Sure.
There are many benefits to being a tourist. Not
yeah.
so many benefits to being a spy.
No. Nobody likes a spy. Nobody likes a spy.
And that's actually, I just realized, that's also why I was talking about Selofehad, the man, why it had to be concealed, because he was acting like a spy.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't asking the question, he wanted to see for himself and do the work himself, instead of mm-hmm. being that of a tourist.
Okay. And just so it's clear, his daughters were enabled to inherit, and that's how we know women can hold property, as far as
correct.
I understand it.
That, well, that's how the rabbis have interpreted it. But you know, we would know that women could own property from as far back as Chava.
Okay. Well, or can inherit property.
Own and or inherit.
Right. And now, what, in thinking back through this long parsha or section, outside of the tourist issue, what do you think are the other, let's say, two major points of this section?
Shlech lecha. Go forth for yourself. Grow your vessel. Expand your consciousness. That's point number one.
Okay.
And realizing that there is no such thing as evil. There is only good that cleanses. That's the understanding of the Zeran Pin uniting with the tree of knowledge, good and evil. The tree of life uniting with the tree of knowledge, good and evil. And how do I take that truth into my life? And we've discussed that a few times. Somebody comes across the street. You're walking across the street and they approach you and he hands you 10 $100 bills for no reason. You never saw him before. You're never going to see him again. You say, thank God. You say, thank you, sir. You bless him. Because after all, it's good that you got $1,000 out of thin air. And the next day, another person comes. You're crossing the street, and he walks up to you and says nothing, but hits you in the face. Your reaction needs to be the same. Thank you, sir. This is a pleasure. Thank you for allowing me to cleanse so easily. Because if truth be known, if I really understood the cause of this pain, of receiving this action, if I truly understood it, I'd know that I'm really cleansing easily compared to what it should be in a world of strict judgment. Did I give you enough?
Yeah.
Baruch Hashem.
Well, I think it's good to summarize a little bit when you have a long section.
I agree. That's one of the reasons that I don't like to do these recordings without people. You know, I can study, and I do study the Zohar, but I don't always record my study for that exact reason. You know, the main issue is when you ask a question, you're creating a vessel. You're expanding your vessel.
Right.
I have my own questions that I ask.
Okay.
But it's not appropriate for me to ask those questions because not everybody can understand those questions yet. That's not to imply that I'm better than another person. I'm very far from this. But I don't think the same way other people do.
Well, you've been studying longer.
Correct. But the truth is, you can study for 1 minute and get it all, or you can take and study for 20 years and not learn a thing. There are two Hasidic rabbis. Rabbi Elimelech of Lejeunesse became the third main Rebbe of the Hasidic movement. and his brother was Rabbi Susha. When they were younger, they used to travel together, collect money, and do whatever, what appropriate. And there are many stories told about these two people who loved each other as brothers, as people, on many different levels. But one of the interesting stories that's told about Rabbi Susha is when his teacher, the Magid de Mezrich, that both he and his brother studied from, would start a discourse, a lecture, a class. He would say the first word, and Rabbi Susha was uncontrollable. He was flying from the light in this one word. He would run out of the class. He would just contemplate this word for hours. He didn't need or want to hear the rest of the lecture. Because Rabbi Susha was on the level of Keter. Everything was revealed to him in this one word. Rabbi Elimelech was in Malchut. He needed to study. He needed to hear the whole lecture. And because he had received it this way, he was closer to the people. And he became the leader of the generation. Rabbi Susha was on a totally different level. Both are necessary. Any other questions or comments?
Well, we say often the teacher learns the most.
This is absolutely true. Absolutely true.
All right. Well, good class. Good learning.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Have a beautiful day. I will see you Bezrat Hashem tomorrow in Waco, or if not, on Thursday in Waco when I finally get settled.
Oh, you're going to Waco. Okay.
Shalom, my friend.
Shalom.